Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Monday afternoon. We do have rain moving in, just so you know, and we need it. It could be arriving any time now, and probably stay with us for a day or so and get everything nice and watered again and blooming. Maybe take us through into October with a few flowers and blades of grass. That would be nice. It really would. It would be really, really nice. There's a lot of stuff that is going on as we speak, and one of the things that's coming up is the Wilder Symposium, People First Democracy, and we're going to get Governor Wilder to talk about that, but I also want to get his assessment, well, on a number of things, including the giant pay raise for the president of VCU. You know, I love the Gov, and former Virginia Governor Doug Wilder is joining us. Mr. Governor, thank you for being here.
Jeff, always good being with you, and it's good to hear the numbers of people that I hear from that listen to you. Oh. And all the best. Good to be with you again.
Well, thank you, sir. Let's start with something really, really positive, and that is the Wilder School, this symposium about people first. You had a great piece about that, talking about voters and, well, who we really are as Virginians.
Jeff, I'm glad you brought that up. We are having it tomorrow at the Singleton Center at VCU from 5 to 7, and I would like people to come early because it's going to be a good crowd. We're going to be having as our moderators Larry Sabato, Bob Holdsworth, Robin McDougall is likewise going to be participating. She runs our polling for us at the school, and of course we'll be joined by our great dean, Susan Gooden. So I look forward to it. I'm very encouraged by what I hear in terms of what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about elections.
Right.
2024, really.
Yeah.
But we'll be projecting into 2025. And we're going to be talking about the real things that we should be speaking of and the issues, as well as the undue influence of money and many of the things that we're going to be talking about. I hear from people directly. I want them to hear from this, what I call, extremely well expert in what they do, group of people, the moderators.
Well, Governor, one of the things that always stood out about you is that you traveled to every single part of our beloved Commonwealth. You talked with real people, and every time that you and I have chatted, on the air or off the air, I mean, you've talked about the people of Virginia. I don't think I've ever heard you really mention the party affinity of anyone.
Jeff, you'd be surprised at the people that resonate. The exact thing you said. I go into a restaurant, or I go to a place, and sometimes someone will holler out all over the restaurant, "You're the only Democrat I've ever voted for." Or I'll holler out from people who say, "I feel I can talk to you." Yeah. I get letters from people and young people all over the country, all over the world. I am wanting to continue to express the need for people to be involved, the engagement of people. Don't ask them to vote for you. Give them a reason for them to vote for you. Don't tell them what you want to do. What have you done? Yeah. Don't tell them that you haven't done it because this or the other. What stopped you from doing it? And that's why, in many instances, as you've referenced in the op-ed pieces, I speak to what it was that was able to get done, or I was able to get done.
Yeah.
I had people to oppose me, and then they came around not only supporting me, but putting in the bills with me to get them passed. That's what I call looking to the people, connecting with the people, and keeping them uppermost in our mind.
Former Virginia Governor Doug Wilder is joining us. Governor, do you get the sense that I mean, part of your ability to do that, of course, is your personality. And I swear I'm not sucking up. You're a good guy. You're a brilliant man, and you're able to bring people into the conversation. Do we have a Doug Wilder in 2024?
There may be.
Yeah.
My point is, they could never be discovered until they step forth.
Yeah.
Don't let people tell you what you can't do. Step forth. That's why I enjoyed so much being in Hopewell at your event,
yeah.
Politics and Pints. Yesterday I was at an event. A friend of mine had an oyster roast nearby. And people came up referencing that particular instance in which standing room only, people asking questions, and the engagement.
Yeah.
And I reminded the people, I said, well, the only thing that was going bad with that is that Jeff Katz says that I've influenced his two boys too much, particularly the one of them.
I'm going to have to tell you off the air where the oldest son is working. You will get a big smile even as the points of my mouth start turning down. But, yeah, you...
Give him my regards.
You have had an undue influence.
God bless you, friend.
Oh, my God. Governor, let me ask you about the, I hesitate to bring it up, but I have to. The president of ECU, Michael Rowell, scored himself a 16% pay increase. And just so you know, I talked to everybody that I know. I've yet to meet anyone who got a 16% pay increase. What exactly did he do at VCU that's worthy of all this money?
Threw away $73 million and possibly to exceed $100 million with no explanation to anyone as to where it went, why it went, and what he needed to do to correct it.
Hmm.
Not only that, wanted to spend more money for these other kinds of things. But here's what the problem is in that instance, Jeff. Who is responsible for that? Who approves that? Who allows that to go on unchecked? Those people who are elected allow that to come from the governor down to the Board of Visitors. They allow that to happen. And the people, I can tell you, can't stand it. They hate it. I talk with them. They talk with me. Maybe we can influence some people to finally stand up for the people.
I don't understand why it is so hard for anyone. And again, you and I are talking about, this is not about Democrat or Republican or this or that or tall or short. Man, if you waste $100 million of taxpayer money, somebody ought to call you out on it.
Well, if you are involved with wanting to be approved and reappointed and smiled upon, you don't do that. When I ever run for office, my only concern was doing what I could do while I was there. If I got reelected, fine. If I didn't, I wanted to do the best possible job. Yeah. So the question is, and I know that you're not going to be able to get him, you couldn't pay Mike Rowell that $73 million to come on your show. He wouldn't show up.
No.
You could get a band of marshals and set up for him. He found a way to get back. And yet you talk about tuition increases.
Yeah.
You want to stop people from protesting. They have to know what's going on right from the beginning. No, and it's so good for your show to continue, as you do, to let the people know what's going on.
Well, Governor, I'm going to do my best to pop down for the symposium. It'll be late, but to try and get down there tomorrow. I know it's going to be a fantastic turnout. Everybody loves the Gov, and so we love.
I certainly do look for you to be there, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
And it's what I hope you'll see and what I've seen, and I see it every day when I go to the streets. People are saying, thank God somebody speaks for us, or at least recognizes that there is a need for us to have representation.
Well,
I'm
Governor,
glad to be with you.
Yeah, you've been doing it for decades. And I'm telling you, I know you keep brushing me off about running again. You're 92, so what? Don't be a slacker. Come on.
Well, forgive me for being laggard in this regard. Always good, Jeff.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you. That is Doug Wilder. And what can I tell you? I say it every time, and people say, well, really? Yeah, I love the Gub. I really do. I think he's a straight shooter.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Great guy. And we'll make sure that everything is up there. I just want to remind you, newsradiowrba.com is where you go. If you missed a part of it, we had a great conversation. There's a great event coming up with the governor. Now, we are also going to be joined at 4:35, Xi Van Vliet. And I hope I am pronouncing her name correctly. If you were with me last Friday, my friend John Reed was here, and John was talking about the Virginia Council. You know, John is the founding chairman of the Virginia Council, and they've done amazing work, incredible work, vital work in our Commonwealth, and they have brought speakers to town that need to be heard. Xi Van Vliet's story is one that needs to be heard, and she is coming to town for the Virginia Council. We'll get the details out about that, and you'll be able to sort of get a feel for her concern. She sees us going down the very, very wrong path, election-wise and politically. It is 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 22, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I did say it a little bit earlier, but let me say it again. Welcome back to our friend Charles Pyle. I'm hoping that you are listening to the newscasts this afternoon. Great to have a real honest-to-goodness reporter, journalist, local guy. So Charles going to be with us top and bottom of the hour, and already, I think, helping to improve everything that goes on here in the afternoon. So we really are very, very happy to have him back. We've got Xi Van Vliet joining us at 4:35. She is coming to town as part of the Virginia Council Speaker Series. My friend John Reed is the founding chairman over there, and they brought some wonderful folks in, and this is... it's going to be one of those speeches you have to hear, because we are headed down a road that we really don't want to go down. We'll talk with her at 4:35. I have to say that thus far, I have not heard a lot from the assorted leftists, the Democrats, and they're taking accountability for Mr. Routh, who apparently was looking to assassinate President Trump. Now, I understand. I at least am consistent every single time I talk about one of these terrible events. The person who held the weapon or drove the car or pulled the pin, they're ultimately responsible. But how many times have we heard the left tell us, oh, well, you know, Donald Trump created this and then you created that? Well, we played you a nonstop montage of Democrats calling for violence. Am I really supposed to be surprised when violence happens? A couple of weeks ago, we had the wonderful debate between our vice president and our former president, and the vice president was well-rehearsed. She had memorized a lot of lines. I want you to take a listen. Cut number 5, she was on with Channel 6 in Philadelphia, and suffice to say, she had not memorized her lines. Cut number 5.
You talked at the debate and at previous appearances about turning the page. Mm-hmm. On the past. And in fact, here today in Johnstown, you're talking about a new way forward.
Yeah.
I think some people have a question, given maybe your current role as Vice President of the United mm-hmm. States, how different you are from Joe Biden. And so I wonder if there are one or two spots, policy areas or approaches where you would say, I'm a different person.
Well, I'm obviously not Joe Biden. And, you know, I offer a new generation of leadership. And so, for example, thinking about developing and creating an opportunity economy where it's about investing in areas that really need a lot of work, and maybe focusing on, again, the aspirations and the dreams, but also just recognizing that at this moment in time, some of the stuff we could take for granted years ago, we can't take for granted anymore.
Did she say anything at all of consequence? No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No. I sort of put myself there. No, seriously. Did she say anything of consequence? How about cut number 6? Does she fix it?
My approach is about new ideas, new policies that are directed at the current moment. And also, to be very honest with you, my focus is very much in what we need to do over the next 10, 20 years to catch up to the 21st century around, again, capacity, but also challenges.
And cheeseburgers and puppies. Wool socks. There's not a freaking thing she said that makes sense. Nothing. She's just spitting words out, hoping that one or two of them actually connect. Good Lord, that's embarrassing. That's also our Not Ready for Primetime Vice President. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my buddy John Reed will be here. Please make sure you are here for that. 426 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. We've got rain beginning to move in. It is going to be with us through the evening, through the overnight, all day tomorrow, and apparently into Wednesday as well. So just, if you would, be aware of that. Whatever precautions you got to take, you got to take. I want to thank again former Virginia Governor Doug Wilder for joining us a little bit earlier. And if you missed it, all you need to do is head on over to newsradio.wrva.com, and you can listen to the full discussion I had with the Gov. And while you're poking around online, WRBA.com is also the place to get your tickets for Politics and Pints. Coming up a month from today, it's October the 16th, historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. Hope you'll join us. It's me and it's John Reed. Brian Kilmeade said he's coming back. Dana Lash is coming in for it. The only way you can get tickets, again, is at WRBA.com. There's another great event coming up, and this one is actually coming up next week. It's at the Glen Allen Cultural Arts Center. Beautiful facility, I should mention that. Put on by our friends at the Virginia Council. The Virginia Council is bringing speakers to town who have messages that absolutely need to be heard. And the guest who's coming in next week for the Virginia Council, Xi Van Fleet, is joining us. What a powerful story. Xi, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me to your show.
Yeah, the pleasure is mine. You're the author of a book, Mal's America, A Survivor's Warning. Please tell us, what is it that you are seeing, having survived Mao and China, that we need to be aware of here in the United States in 2024?
Well, yes, I lived through what's called Chinese Cultural Revolution. And it's from 1966 until Mao's death in 1976. It was a 10-year cultural revolution. It's really a war against the Chinese culture, Chinese civilization, Chinese tradition, and Chinese past. And it is what Kamala said. Imagine what can be. Unburden what has been. Destroy the past. Mm-hmm. Everything in the past has to be destroyed to be rebuilt, built back better. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
That is really a war to destroy everything so that we don't have a past. We only know the future. Forward, sound familiar to what? To Maoist utopia land. And so that we don't have anything, we forget about our faith and destroy statues, destroy make traditional names for institutions, for roads and highways and streets and brand names, everything.
Wow.
So that we only know going forward into the communist utopia. And I hope that people can relate to what's going on today. And I say that I lived through two cultural revolutions. One, 50 years ago, when I was a little girl, as a schoolgirl, I lived through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. 10 years, and now I'm living through it with hundreds of millions of Americans. The sad reality is that a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand, they don't see it. It's because they are never taught the real history of communism.
Well, tell us a little bit. I want to remind everybody, Xi Van Fleet is joining us, and she's actually coming to town next week for our friends over at the Virginia Council. And you can go to thevirginiacouncil.org to get your tickets.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
VirginiaCouncil.org to get your tickets. When the Cultural Revolution happened in China, it was, if I understand it, it was violent. Was it done at the point of gun with the threat of more violence, or was it enacted in some other way, Xi?
That is a very excellent question. It is not done by soldiers, by military personnel. It is done by unleash the kids, the kids from as low, as young as elementary school ages all the way to universities.
Wow.
And those were the indoctrinated kids. They did not know anything about the past, and they believe everything from their leader, Chairman Mao. Whatever the leader told them to do, they would do it. They were called the Red Guards. And they were the Red Guards for Mao, and Mao claimed to be the Red Commander-in-Chief. Together, they destroyed the world, destroyed the institutions, and destroyed the CCP. Why? Because Mao felt that he was no longer in control of his own party and his own government and his own institutions. So he wanted the kids to destroy them so that he can put people back that he trusts. And that is really, after all that chaos, after all that destruction, death, 20 million people died.
Right.
It is all about power. Power for one person and who wanted to have absolute power, permanent power. In the process, he wanted to be our God, and he managed to do that. Mm-hmm. During the Cultural Revolution, he was regarded as a god, and the whole China of 800 million people were his congregation. And we have a Bible called Mao's Little Red Book,
right.
And we have it's everything. It's like a mad cult, and it was a cult. And what's happening today is the same thing. Group of people, they want the power. They want power. In order to get that, they are willing to do exactly what Mao did to China, to destroy this country, to divide the people, make them hate each other in the process so that they can get absolute power.
And when I think about the so-called Cultural Revolution, Mao's Cultural Revolution, the stories of children dragging their parents into the streets and having these sort of mock trials. And we who are American by birth, gee, we think, oh, that could never happen here. That's absurd. But I look at my sons who have been educated in the public schools, and I got news for you. There was a huge dollop of indoctrination that I think took the place of education quite often.
That's exactly what they do. They have to do that in order to control the kids. During the Cultural Revolution, kids turned against parents, but also parents turned against their children. Oh. Husband turned against the wife, neighbors against neighbor, friends against friends, just like today in America. And you say that, what happened in China, the children reported parents. It's happening here in America.
Mm-hmm.
Children, already we have cases of son reported to FBI of his father on the Capitol on January 6th. And daughter reported or tweeted on the social media about her mother among the crowd on Capitol Hill. And they all ended up in jail. And that's happening right here. And now the parents want to transition their kids.
Yeah,
it's absolute replay of the Chinese Cultural Revolution.
I'm so thrilled that you're coming here to Central Virginia. I'm grateful to my friend John Reed, who is, as you probably know, the founding chairman of the Virginia Council. What sort of reaction are you getting around the country? Because the Virginia Council is not the only place you're coming to speak, right?
Yes. Yeah, I have been invited all over the country, and I'm very grateful because people recognize that I have an important message.
Yes.
And I say, when I was, when I videoed that I am of my speaking at the Loudoun County School Board went viral, I was shocked. I thought everyone knew Cultural Revolution. Yeah. Well, no, Americans do not know. They don't know because the school don't want to teach them. The media don't want to talk about it.
Yep.
They want to cover it up and forget. And so that when you don't know history, when you don't know the past, you cannot understand the present.
Yep.
And that's by purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Xi, I appreciate you being here. I'm looking forward to seeing you next week. I want to urge everybody, go over right now, thevirginiacouncil.org, thevirginiacouncil.org. Still tickets there. I don't know if any of the VIP tickets are left, but I would just go to the website, thevirginiacouncil.org, because you do not want to miss this conversation with Xi Van Fleet, a courageous woman, a brilliant woman. I'm thrilled she joined us today. 4:45. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:52, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday, and I don't know exactly how or why, but Kamala Harris, our not ready for primetime vice president, sat down for a sort of kind of interview. Now, Fox still has the count at, 57, 58 days that she's not done a press conference. But she did sit down with a local reporter from Channel 6 in Philadelphia. She hadn't rehearsed. Take a listen. Cut number 4.
What are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
Well, I'll start with this. I grew up a middle-class kid. My mother raised my sister and me. She worked very hard. She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager. I grew up in a community of hardworking people, construction workers and nurses and teachers. And I try to explain to some people who may not have had the same experience, but a lot of people will relate to this. I grew up in a neighborhood of folks who were very proud of their lawn, And I was raised to believe and to know that all people deserve dignity. And that we as Americans have a beautiful character. We have ambitions and aspirations and dreams, but not everyone necessarily has access to the resources that can help them fuel those dreams and ambitions. So when I talk about building an opportunity economy, it is very much with the mind of investing in the ambitions and aspirations and the incredible work ethic of the American people and creating opportunity for people, for example, to start a small business. My mother, worked long hours, and our neighbor helped raise us. We used to call her, I still call her, our second mother.
Uh-huh. Office furniture! Well, I'm just going to shout out words and hope that some of them make sense to someone. Letter opener. I'm just gonna look around the desk. Scissors.
Got hairy leg that turned blonde in the sun.
Well, that one never made sense. Emily's bracelets. Well, that one does make sense. Emily'sBracelets.com. Coffee mug, travel mug, socks with pineapples. I mean, come on, man. You're the vice president of the United States. You've been there for 3.5-4 years. And you're asked a simple question. Can you give us a couple of examples of what you are going to do economically? What are your economic plans, your policies, right? And what is her response? Well, I grew up, okay. Where I grew up, a lot of people liked their lawns. They were proud of their lawns. Sure. All right. And we had a neighbor who was really nice to me. Who gives
Come
a
on, man.
I mean, no offense to the neighbor, who I'm sure was very nice, but really, who cares? what is your economic plan going to be? Well, I want to invest in a lot of these farms, you know, so that people can raise unicorns and factories that are going to make magical wands and be a distributor of, you know, fairy dust. And then we raise the unicorns, and then the unicorns produce methane, and then the unicorn farts power our flying cars, man. That's the way it goes, right? Whew. You're telling me that we can't do better than that? Yikes! Tomorrow at 6 a.m., my buddy John Reed will be here. Make sure you're here for that. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.